Welcome to weekly English medium discussion. We have our set topic, but before going to that, we have about 1 hour. Before going to that, I would like to start the open discussion. If anyone is having interview reports, or if anyone is having any comments or suggestions or criticism, we can take a few minutes. If there are no, or if there are these things are finished, we are about to go to the next sutta from the last week.
Avasarai Swamin Vahansa. We have not received any reports from this NBAN.
Good. So that means we can go to the next sutta.
Bante, there's a little comment from Venerable Dhamma Vijita. You have anything? Okay, you have. Okay, there's one comment from Dhammo Sada from Kenya. So we'll listen to him.
Yeah. Avasarai Bante. I just want to take this opportunity to ask a question that I've had for a while now.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Say a yogi is in a state of cessation, the body, say they're in a sitting position, the body is calm, the mind is calm, there are no mental or verbal activities, and so after a while, the yogi enters a state of cessation. And so in that state, even reflection of analysis has stopped happening. And yes, the yogi understands that this is a blissful state. But after they emerge, they come out of this state of cessation, now they are able to reflect, and they see that at that time, there was cessation. There was no possible way to analyze anything. So the question is, how does this yogi know that while they are in that state of cessation, somewhere in the background, their stock of defilements are being cleared? How does this yogi know that? Is it just a matter of faith because, you know, the Buddha said so, that you go into this state and this is Nibbana? But to the yogi, it is not clear that, you know, these are the mental processes that are slowly eradicating defilements that have been accumulated for countless past lives. How does the yogi know that? This is my question, Roku Swami Nancy.
Yes, if I got the question correctly, this is a carrier. He's carrying the underlying tendencies. He's carrying the director dispositions, but he can verily verify he is not subjected to transgressional kind of defilement and obsessional kind of defilement. So therefore, 1/2 of the defilements is not there. Other defilements are there, he knows defilements are there. Under such circumstances, after emerging, he can reflect back. It's called pachavekkana, reflection. Then he can understand you are not there when there is a cessation, I mean a temporary cessation. And main feature of it is no language, no analytical power, no deductive knowledge. But whenever you come to the senses, again the opening for the transgressional defilements and the obsessional defilements are there. And there you can have deductive thinking, rational thinking. And there you can go to the period where you were, and at that time no transgressional, no deductive, but carrying of the load, that the carrier is there. So these are the immense beneficial situation in the human mind. Many people are in the transgressional kind, whether like or not. That's why the police is there. That's why the social code is the ethical codes. And many people can't do away with that. They get committed. But when you are in that blank area, you know you are a carrier of the underlying tendencies, but you are not committing anything. And your mind is obsessed. But you are deprived of analytical power. That means you are zombie. You are paralyzed. But the going into that and coming out of that is happening completely automatically. I mean, you have to practice up to the point where going into that zombie, going into that not analytical and no frictional path, as and when it happens, or frequently happening, or coming out of that also happening. So you are monitoring before going into that. You can see the situation of transgressional defilements and transgressional defilement. If you need, I will say killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, slandering, tale-carrying, and harsh wound. They are not there. And not only that, not obsessed. Mind is not obsessed. So that's when it is happening, you must know at any moment, accidentally mind can go into this kind of a subtle matter sphere, but there's a load of defilements are carrying. They are under the carpet dust. But you know it. That's the beauty of it. And then, once you come out of that, again, you get the rational thinking power and you can understand 2/3 finished. But I knew I had 1/3 remaining. You can't claim that remaining thing as me, mine, and myself. If you claim them, that carrying the carrier, carrying the underlying tendency as me, mine, and myself, you are accumulating defilements. You are disclaiming it. It's like a barnacles in a ship. They come and get stuck. Whatever the sea, it gets. So it has to get the ship out of the water and then blast, sandblast. Otherwise, barnacles will not go there. So barnacles, you are carrying tons. So your capacity is highly reduced and making so much of friction that you have to get the ship out of the water. It's a huge task to get the ship into the deck and remove water and then blast off this thing. So, but if you know when the ship is anchored in the sea, so much of things are happening, barnacles are coming and touching, and available things are proliferally growing, once in a way, I have to remove. But in these barnacles, this underlying tendency is, knowing is a very good weapon against them. Don't try to get rid of them. Just be aware, even if you are in a deep concentration, the full load is carrying. Never mind. Knowing is what Buddha given us as a very good way. Otherwise, we have not even seen them. And luckily or unluckily, your barnacles are equal to your friend's barnacles. These defilements are exactly the same. Bad thing is you claim this me and mine and myself. But you have to understand they never give any well-being. They are utterly a canker, utterly a cancer, utterly a barnacle. So just disclaim it. Disavow it. I hope I hope I confused you enough.
You almost tried, but I am satisfied with the answer. Thank you very much.
You are not confused?
Not quite.
I'm sorry. Okay, good question.
Just to add to that, Lokasaya answer, now how one can be sure that there are no any anusaya kilesas are available now?
There is no one. That is why you said that when we are winning the final, there is no one to throw party.
No, I mean, I understand that, yes. I mean, there is no one, there is no person as such. But whoever, I mean, going through that, so whether is, are there still impediments, are there still latent tendencies, so now everything has gone, how to verify that?
So much so to maintain 6 faculties to the death is available. Anupadi says available. Need just to maintain the machine. Not to proliferate or not to kill the machine.
Uh-huh.
That is what he called Upadhi Sesa Nirvana Dhatu. So Upadhi Sesa means that 6 senses also finished. Nibbanti Dhirai Atayam Padipo. There's no one to throw a party. It's a good question from Chandratanam.
Okay, shall we go to the... Yeah, we'll go to the Sutta Swaminhansa. So, last week actually we discussed about the Nandati Sutta, where one Deva was talking about the Nandana Vanaya, and so he was delighted in it. And now we can go to the next Sutta. It is called Nattiputta Sutta. Am I correct? Correct? Nattiputta Sutta. So, its Pali verse is going like this. Ekamantang tithakosa devata bhagavato santike imang gathang abhasi. Natti putta samang pe mang, natti gosa mitang dhanang. Natti suriyasma abha, samudda param...
Can you go?
Natti go, natti go samitang
go.
Dhanang. Go samitang.
Go samitang.
Natti go samitang dhanang. Then natti suriya, natti suriyasama abha, samudda parama sarati. So we'll read the Sinhala translation. Ekat paseka siti e devite me bhagatun vahanse samipehi me gayakiya. Putra premeha sama premeak netha. Go dhaneha sama dhanek netha. Hiruha sama eliek netha. Vilhu muhuda parama kota attaha. Varahang etule. Muhudaha sama vilek netai you say. So I'll invite Venerable Dhammavijita to read the English translation.
Yes, Swaminatha. So this is verse Sutta 13, none equal to that for a son. So there is no affection like that for a son, no wealth equal to cattle. There is no light like the sun. Among the waters, the ocean is supreme. There is no affection like that for oneself.
I didn't mention. No,
okay.
Yeah. So then we shall we go to the next answer from the Buddha? Looks an answer.
Yeah, that is then only that we can start discussion.
Yes. So then Buddha answers like this: Natti atta samang pemang, natti dhanya samang dhanang, natti panya sama abha, vutti ve parama sarati. Natti atta samang pemang, natti dhanya samang dhanang, natti panya sama abha, vutti ve parama sarati. Atma premeha sama premeak netha, dhanyaha sama dhanayek netha, prajnyavaha sama alokayek netha, ekanteng vessa parama vilai. So we go to the translation.
So that's also given from the worldly point of view. Otherwise,
So, Dhamma Vijita...
Dhana, yes.
Okay, and the Buddha's answer is, even if we discard... Oh, sorry. There is no affection like that for oneself. No wealth equal to grain. There is no light like wisdom. Among the waters, the rain is supreme.
Yeah, this is I was about to start it's a kind of a the answers in common sense. Because that dhana, dhamma, dhana, dhamma is our best value, but it is given dhanya. Dhanya means dhanya, grains, what you have harvested. So, I mean, it's a very innocent way of presentation. And panya sati, panya is the brightness, abha, and atmasneha, that means the self-love, is the biggest. But they are with criticisms, because that is not the what you are appreciating. You know, I love myself. But that is something to be gotten rid of. So therefore, this is a comparative worldly answer, but from the absolute point of view, all these are papancha. All these are mind-made. So, we have to understand the question and answer from the olarika kamaloka point of view, or rupaloka point of view, or arupaloka point of view, or nibbana point of view. So, this one is given the failure in the vohara, That means conventional point of view. So therefore, someone at least must understand and appreciate what the Buddha is telling. But that is not the absolute end. Absolute end, some openings are there, but not highly geared into that. So therefore, it's good to discuss how each of us interpret it, understand it, and how much we have achieved is something exemplified to the rest of the world. Because we have given up our dhanya, our all the valuable, the worldly matters. And we are searching some another matter. And not we are considering the sons and the progeny as our valuable things. And so likewise, this answer is somewhat intermediate in the transitional period. So therefore, each of us, specifically those we are participating for this discussion, has achieved something. I would say it's a remarkable achievement, but not gone to the destiny. So therefore, each one's interpretation of the particular sutta or interpretation of each one's mindfulness, each one's relationship with your primary object, I think will give a very good open, very good stage for hearing our views. I would like to listen from the other practicing yogis and participating participants.
Excuse me, Swaminand sir. Thank you for your comments. And I see you're saying that the Buddha's answer is for worldlings to help us get a little more clearer understanding. The first verse is saying, there is no affection like that for a son, no wealth equal to cattle. There is no light like the sun. Among the waters, the ocean is supreme. And the Buddha corrects this this deva, saying there is no affection like that for oneself. And Bhikkhu Bodhi in the commentary mentions even if we discard our parents or neglect to care for our children, we still care for ourselves. So the Buddha actually, you know, he sees the bit of misunderstanding of the deva and corrects him, saying, you know, for oneself, that's the greatest affection. And then no wealth equal to grain. Bhikkhu Bodhi says, when people are in need of food, they will give away gold and silver and other assets in order to obtain grain. So again, the Buddha, you know, he just makes it a little bit more closer to truth. You know, if we're starving, then we obviously will give our gold and silver to obtain food. And then there is no light like wisdom. Bhikkhu Bodhi says, wisdom is the supreme light because it can illuminate the 10,000-fold world system and dispel the darkness concealing the three periods of time, which even the sun cannot do. And then as for the deva says, among the waters, the ocean is supreme. And the Buddha corrects this, saying, among the waters, rain is supreme. Bhikkhu Bodhi says, if the rain were to be cut off, even the great oceans would dry up. But when the rain continues to pour down, the world becomes one mass of water, even up to the Basara Deva world. So again, maybe the deva that was, I wonder, in other cases, the Buddha will teach based on somebody's understanding. So the Buddha here is maybe talking to a deva that is very, deluded. And the Buddha is trying to just get him a little bit closer to wisdom, seeing mindfully and understanding things as they really are, but not too much, because this deva maybe needs just, you know, maybe he's very conceited, and if the Buddha were to, or maybe just very dull, and the Buddha is trying to help him develop a little bit more wisdom. Those are my comments, Bhante. That was the commentary by Bhikkhu Bodhi. So thank you very much, Swami Hansa.
It's not the commentary. This is the Bhikkhu Bodhi's view. When I go to America, when I am teaching about vipassana, he says, Dhammajiva, don't do nonsense. Teaching Americans, dana sila. You are talking about the vipassana. There are a lot of vipassana teachers. We don't know dana. They don't know sila. When they are trying top class vipassana, and they people don't know sharing. They don't know people moral responsibilities. So therefore, Bhikkhu Bodhi's, this thing is not that he do not know vipassana, but he give the intermediate stages. Intermediate stages are very important. So what I do is, I invite or gather or attract people, those who are fairly good in dana, fairly good in sila, and if they are lacking any vipassana, I would share. So I will not much appreciate dana. I appreciate sila. Because I say, Ajivattamaka sila or Ashtanga Samannagata sila, otherwise get out. But Bhikkhu Bodhi attract everyone. And he says, now you do not know what is the moral responsibility, what is sila. This is what the sila. You can start somewhere. Don't expect I am with the full sila, I am ready for vipassana. That's a kind of a conceit. So that is exactly the commentators. They are teaching about the intermediate or lower middle class. I try to talk to the upper middle class. Both of them are middle class. So I think we have to compromise the middle class, not the lower middle class, not the upper middle class, the middle class. So that is a kind of a practical hint. We missionary workers, facilitators, master trainers must understand the audience. So I send a rule of conduct, a compendium of rules, and say these are the people I am going to address. Otherwise, the retreat organizer is at fault. So retreat organizer must screen them or comb them and get it for the residential retreat. But when they are organizing open talks, then we have to talk about the dana, sila, bhavana. Otherwise, in a retreat, in a residential retreat or monks, we are talking about the bhavana. So that is what I felt. Then compare the Buddha's answer, it is more intermediate, more to the lower middle class, I mean, in the economical. Because the God is an idiot. Bhikkhu Bodhi is simply mentioning it. I never mention it. He's an idiot. He can't explain because he don't have sons. He don't have dhanya. He is in the heavenly and he don't care about the light. He don't care about anything because he got the heavenly things. But he is indulging. But he is better off when compared to the human beings. But very hardly any mentioning about the Nibbana is telling that liberation is this thing. So therefore, it is a gradual thing, and that is what you call patipada. That's what you call gradual development, and that is what the missing in the God believers, no intermediate stages. Directly the God and the sinners. How to the sinner become God? They are taboos. Don't talk about that. Because you are comparing the dog, God with me, God with dog. You are an idiot. You cannot. You have to just say, pray. Go and pray. God is not in the above clouds. There is no ladder. But the Buddha says, I am a human. I am a God's God. Brahma, Brahma. Devati Deva. But I know even Patachara can start. Even the Angulimala can start. Even the Sunita can start. Even the sopa can start. I hope you all are aware of these characters. So therefore, don't boast. But your talk must be leading. It must be a pointer. It must be sharpening. It must be always from good to better. But not the best. Best is not belongs to this world. Only the good and better is there. But Sarvasubha, everything is pure, it is not in itself. That happened after the Parinirvana. So therefore, one has to understand, we are in the same boat. Therefore, you have to understand the point and take the one step ahead. Don't try to jump one by one. When you are going, you can't measure how much you are progressing. That's a disadvantage. But the upper level people can understand. You can't understand, lower level people can't understand. Others, they are monitoring, but their monitoring is not to touch. Just mere observing let you to happen, facilitating by not making any impediments. But don't kiss you. Don't hug you. So therefore, I had one very devoted Catholic. He's having a ruler, or 12-inch ruler, and it has been printed, God will bless you, Satan will kiss you. If someone is kissing you, be careful. You are happy. And immediately, you get, results. But that is God. That is Satan or Mara. So therefore, God will bless. He is at far distance. I mean, the Buddha and the Nibbana. And anyone is coming and hugging. So my interpretation is, God is with Panya. Satan is with karma. Buddha is balancing. So our poor religious societies are more attracted to karuna. So that means in the trap of the Mara. So therefore, Mara is very, very unhappy about with me. Because I was karma ratna earlier. I am very sorry. And now I am talking something against karuna like. But each time I say Buddha is balanced. So therefore, in this situation, to go from the lower middle class to the upper middle class, you must have comprehension, clear comprehension, sampajanya. So I think we have everyone, we have to catalyze it. Any other view? Any other Bhikkhu Bodhi?
Thank you, Bhante, for your response. Yes, we hope we will be beyond this answer of the Buddhas. At least we can be
careful,
more...
Careful, you are... You are an American.
Thank you, Swaminans.
Venerable Sivali is raising his hand.
We can't hear Sivali.
Swaminathan, can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay.
Can you?
Yes.
I remember one of the people that I have read called Veta Anupakana, and Lord Buddha trying to say that when the Arya seeing some lay people, mundane people, having a good time or having something love. So it's Arya seeing is not a good thing. If something happens bad for some lay people, Arya seeing as if that happens, if something has happened, good to them because it can help them to pop up their research. And the other, Jatakasata, I have read, which is called Visajatake. And in that case, there was a teacher and a student. So somehow all the books that the students are bringing to the guru. So the first day was missing, the second day was missing, and the third day was missing, and then the guru was confused and asking the history what had happened. And then the story said that Sakraya has, he's playing game with this group to see their wisdom or something. I remember like that. And then, so everybody was trying to, tell that they haven't took it. Actually, the Sakya has hit hide it, the truth that the students have gone through with the gurus and how they
curse, how they curse themselves.
Yes, how they they are saying that if the students are saying that if I should be fruit, this will happen to me. And what is the thing? Let me say, every atma that they reincarnate, I may have a best wife in every life, and I may have the best children in every life, because it's like that. Because normally in lay people will ask the other way around. So that is the point. These two points I pop into my mind. That's it. But,
so that means that the wish and blessings from the God is different from the Satan is different. Often we are happy with the Satan's wishing. God is not giving, he is just blessing. Bless. It's not tangible. Mara is always tangible. And it is the best wife and the best children and the best kingdom and the best building and the best everything. So when these things happen, it's a sign of a dark cloud. It's a sign of a dark cloud. When I was doing the job, everything was possible, positive. Boss is positive and all the facilities are given and my parents and family are so happy and my professor has told some of my students are getting higher salary than me. But I had, because before that I had some idea about mindfulness, so I had that, but still I loved that. And the unfortunate thing happened, all the labors went against me, and there I found something sparked happened. Because that is beyond my boss, beyond my family, and beyond my money. So I thought, now be prepared, that kind of a consolation happened, because I had that radical reflection. I had the nasty reflection. And when I came back, I gotten rid of, I jumped out, they came chasing me. Dear sir, when you are there, so much of development of the company. So I told, yes, I may come, just please let me have some peace of mind. But I know definitely, I got a chance. Everyone think it's a failure in my life. First job, very successful. At that failure, I became a monk. I got that freedom. And the Mara planned me to have the shares in that company. How did I become a director and for his correspondence, for his foreign markets? So now it's beyond, I can't think about that. So that kind of a mishap, it is called every dark cloud has a silver light. So you must understand how to ride the wave, how to run that difficulty, because you have to explore the hidden silver light that is never taught in the schools. They try to make you fortune, not to have mishaps. And mishap is for the misfortunate. No. So that change. So if you have that mind of set of mind, where the fortunate or unfortunate thing happen, you are beyond. Things can happen. Never they will cease to happen. It will happen. But you have the buffering capacity, everything. You know how to ride the wave. You know how to be on the ball. If that is the case, that's called samadhi. That's called we are scouters, scouting. We know we have the prepared mind. But this Buddha's answer is not giving that. Instead, it gives, this is poor, you have depicted this poor, I am giving a better place. But that's not the absolute end. So we monks, so we are meditators, must understand, we must give that kind of a hope for that kind of idiot gods. Otherwise, they can't comprehend the vipassana, they can't comprehend the final goal. So when you are going to America, talk about dana, talk about sila. Don't talk about vipassana, because the leaders will say, you don't know American society. They don't know generosity. They know only conspiracy. They know only mafia. Mafia people are giving. All the scholarships and the Nobel Prize, everything done by mafia. And other people give vipassana, no one comes. Even David Richardson, he says, vipassana is the, mindfulness is the answer for all the questions. And it is full of free. And everyone can do. I can't imagine why such a percentage, even not 1%, taking these options. He says it is such a complicated issue, even I can't design a research to detect it. It is such. So, we meditators, when we are dealing with the mindful school, we must not expect good results. I mean, big results. We must understand this is enough. This is maximum we can do. We must teach what the Buddha is teaching to this God. And whenever someone coming to closer to situation, he says, then we have to say, you have to have this boost dose. Other people get the normal dose. So therefore, each and everyone contributing to this discussion is giving a different facet of how he or she understand it. And everything is important because no one can copy the other person. It is such a intrinsic, such a true to type to that. And there's a team, common team also, even though detail-wise we are different. So therefore, we have 9:24 is the time. We have little time. Instead of going to another sutta, we can chew the cud, and we can ruminate and discuss. Yes, you are. Dhamma Rakkita Hamadru, it's ready.
Hardly.
How is it now?
Much better.
Thank you. Forget what I wanted to say. Yeah. What I wanted to say was that the teaching of dana and sila in the Western world, and the teaching mindfulness is not very important, or is not really taking then the path that they should be going. I think the reason is not in the mindfulness. The reason is the way and the objective that is given to teach mindfulness. Because in the Western world, mindfulness is taken as a way to optimize their sense pleasure. And as a result of this complication, it has happened. Because Buddha himself says, if you are mindful and if you develop a full awareness, or in other words, clear comprehension, what happens is that itself will create the sense for estrangement and the precepts will be followed. So it's the problem of why and how they teach mindfulness rather than mindfulness itself.
So to add to that way of thinking, mindfulness also have different status. Bear attention, core foundation of mindfulness, and mindfulness as a faculty, and mindfulness as a power, mindfulness as a factor of enlightenment, and mindfulness as a noble eightfold path. So therefore, it is safe knowing that we are not teaching dana sila, but we are teaching just mere bear attention. So that crossed whenever Jnanaponika's mind. Then he introduced the name of the book is Power of Mindfulness. But he's talking about just getting into the mention of mindfulness. It's a threshold. You can be in the Kamaloka with without sila, without dana, you can do it. But you can experience little being on the threshold value. Threshold. Indoor, outdoor, both. So that many Buddhists can't understand. Mindfulness is such a powerful thing. Why you are teaching only the beginning? Because you have to keep it open for people without dana, people without sila. And the people, those who are thinking that we have done enough dana and sila, they are very arrogant. They say, this is not what the Buddha told. Then I said, this is yes, this is what the BPS leader, Jnanaponika, Venerable Jnanaponika told, and it cost me. Even the Venerable Jnanaponika's BPS can't understand it. They don't understand this bare attention. They don't understand this sati matre. So I have to be at the helm. Because many people, making a lot of complications, try to understand the what is necessary, what is pragmatic, and what is sustainable. Individually, you can do whatever you like. But when you are teaching, you have to understand this must be digestible for the people, those who have not practiced dana. Bare attention is just like physics. And it does not stop at that level. Artificial intelligence stop at that level. They don't care about the ethical rights or ethical responsibility. But the mindfulness slowly invite you to go to the clear comprehension. There you can decide it and ladder. Step by step you can go ladder. But you can't profess it. You can't teach it. But you can learn it. Because teachers are giving. You have to learn. You have to pick it. But the teacher has to understand the people, those who are picked from that point of view, then facilitate. But the general common sense is bear attention. So even without dana and sila, even without the Buddhist way of life and appreciation of the cultural Buddhist situation, we have no hesitation to share. We share. And we are very careful who is taking the healthy trend. And then facilitate them with the booster dose. But for the common idea to go with the bare attention is our theme. It is our broader starting point. And these are the difficult thing. And these are the points of the dynamic teachings. But other things are set values. Then you are dead. That is what in the organized meditation traditions they lost. But we are ever developing. Each and everyone has to develop, be sustainable and practice and progress. And the teacher must understand, even though we are doing common interviews, we have to pick the particular person and pick the particular point and says, you have come up to that level. This is what you have to observe. But the other in the audience may not understand because they are not in that caliber. So therefore, that is the way teacher get refined. That's the way teacher get Ramatan Sutta, you know, again. He also get refined. So you have to be very alert, very lovable, very touchy, very, very kind of a, it is not dry. It is not the recorded talks. Recorded talks are dead. Written books are dead. This is, how to call it? Dynamic. So I am not appreciating, but I admire Venerable Dhamma Vihari never use videos, never use recorded talks. They throw it away. I will teach them. Daily he says, now is the time for walking meditation. And while walking, there may be a cup of tea. Please, slowly, mindfully, silently, taste it. And go calm and quiet. Daily he mentioned it. And listening to his talks in the Pearl Bay, Isha, I asked Isha to just to listen because I have no chance. He says, I feel like listening to him. Daily he is talking the same thing. But it is not a recorded talk. It's not a video. But I like video and recorded talk because I have a massive task. But when I told Venerable Dhamma Vihari, you are a person against videos, against TVs, nothing. I install everything. I prepared the sound system also, removed it. He didn't ask me. I don't allow anyone to use this thing. But when I go there, I give it. I mean, it's not rivalry. There are two teaching techniques. One has to understand, I think both you must use. Whenever necessary, you directly talk to them. And if they ask him, please say, this video, this video, this video, this you have. But they never do it. You have to spoon feed it. You have to bottle milk. You have to give, or breast milk. So that is how Sasana is progressing.
Any comments? Yeah. Okay. There are no comments from our side, Swaminhansa. That is one comment from our side. There's one comment.
Swaminhansa, thank you for your talk. And this is Dhammavijita. I recently found a book that's called Meditate Without Meditating by Dr. Tin Tin. I think she's from Burma. I haven't read anything in the book yet, but just I think I read some of the introduction, and it talked about there is she does retreats without meditation. There's no meditation at all. It's just being aware of your mind and working with other people. And so it's like you're in a social situation continually. And one of the participants said that he was very surprised that his mind became very, his mind really calmed down. He was expecting to come to a meditation retreat and meditating and having his mind calmed down. But her instruction was just be aware of your mind while you're throughout the day, throughout the retreat. And I think, so I was wondering what you would think of that, or what anybody else might think about that.
It's a radical introduction. I like it. There's a book in my collection, Power of Thinking Without Thinking, or Thought Without a Thinker. These are top-class vipassana. And they are talking to the people. They have done dana, they have done sila, they have done bhavana. So they can tackle it. So in early 80s, they were clicking me. Thought without a thinker. And don't sweat small stuff. I can't remember. Michael Gladwell is the thought without the power of thinking without thinking. And fast thinking and slow thinking by Daniel. It is introduced to me by Venerable Dhamma. And these things are quite radical, but very difficult to chew, very difficult to grasp, because it is for the people, those who are, but I am not telling these are people. We, our mind stratas, when you stratify the mind, very low level of mind is very happy to pick flowers and offer to the Buddha and all the kind of thing. I mean, it's good. And then dana, and then dhamma dana, and then sila. I mean, not to disturb others. Nothing expensive, no expenditure. And then when you do bhavana, you can do samatha. No harm. You can have systems. But meditation without the meditating is no system. It is completely upheaval. Chaotic. And flux. Everything is flux. There's an experience without the experiencer. And that is psychotherapy without self, and thought without thinker, and power of thinking without thinking. And they give a radical sparks, but here and there in between words. So if you are in that caliber, you can get plugged into that. Not otherwise. So therefore, in our age, this kind of radical writings are there. That is the fashion in Wall Street kind of teaching, or Reader's Digest kind of teaching, or Times magazine-like teaching. But the groundwork is the most important. So therefore, these things are parachute teaching, dropping from the air. But coming from the up is what Theravada means. Theravada can accommodate that. But once accommodated, you are no more. Apilivala, asangvidita, salad, jam, jelly, no system. So that is completely against the systematic linear education. That is what happening in the quantum theorem. And therefore, some top-class quantum scientists committed suicide. No theme, no sustainability, no philosophy. Because every philosophy is satanic. Every organization is satanic. Very easy to destroy. But if you are disorganized, I mean decentralized, no one can destroy it. So that's what's happening in Sri Lanka. Each and everyone was like a king. They have their field, they have their lake, they have their village, temple, and they are doing. But organized religion is the most biggest catastrophe for the humankind. So mindfulness is talking radically here, now I am. No organization, no one appreciating. They try to make a gathering, coherent groups finished. You must be ready to go whenever necessary dana kata, whenever necessary sila kata, whenever necessary vipassana kata, whenever meditation without meditating. That means walking, autopiloting. Breathing, no forced breathing. So that very shocking if you give a large gathering. But the particular person come up to that level, if you give, he will consider you as the Buddha. And whenever he read the book and he says, what the hell, that author must be such a developed person. But rational way of thinking can lead up to that level. And for a particular person grown up to with meditation can in par with that understanding, and they get rejuvenation for 10 years, 20 years life. They become healthy, they find well-being enough, but coming out of blue. No rationality. Thank you for understanding and thank you for introducing this radical, and please give details to the Chandratana Hamdru. He will place an order for that book. Tintin.
Hey, my son, so that Tintin's book, actually she has that older book, Living Meditation, Living Insight. We translated by Mrs. Rani Rajapaksha as the Jeevitema Bhavanavaki. So that is the book. We already have the translation also in Sinhala, and we'll try this book also, which one, as Venerable Dhamma Vijita mentioned, it is particularly talking about the work-related type of meditation. So how, without going for formal meditation, how you are going to apply your practice during the daily activities particularly.
Is that Tintin is a disciple of some other great masters or
independent? She is a Burmese teacher, a doctor by profession, but she has gone through a fair amount of training under several sayadaws.
Good. That means Apilivale is there. That I like. Okay, now it's a time up. I hope for you guys. Have enough time.
Okay.
Calibrated.
Yeah, we'll conclude the Dhamma discussion. Thank you for participation, and Lokusanansi also contributed a lot. I cordially invite Venerable Dhamma Vijita to share the merits.
Thank you very much, Swaminansi, for your teaching. And we'd like to share the merits. May our relatives and all beings share in the merit produced by today's teaching. May all celestial beings share in the merit produced by today's teaching. And may the celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and dispensation of the Buddha and his disciples for a very long time. And perhaps the seeds of the Buddha's teaching that have been planted in our hearts and minds may grow, producing path, fruition, and nibbana. I invite you to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for sharing the merits.